Welcome to the Racer X Canada podcast show brought to you by Shift Canada. Visit them on the web at shiftracing.ca. Shift, the choice is yours. Also, take a look for the 2009 Shift gear to debut at a track near you. This podcast and all the podcasts are available for download on your iPod at iTunes. Check them out there to keep up to date on all of these great shows. Oh, by the way, I'm your host, Steve Mathis, in case you forgot. Which you might have forgot because I haven't done one of these for a while. I'd like to apologize for the lack of these podcasts. I've been busy with my real job, and plus traveling to the Nationals doesn't leave a whole lot of time for these. They take a little bit of time to do as well. I should clarify that I did one last week with none other than the big 1-5, Tim Ferry, but something was up with my levels, and combined with his inherent mumbling that he sometimes does, and the sound was all jacked. I cannot and will not put out a podcast that doesn't have the ultimate in sound quality for you listeners. I'm looking at getting these in THX as we speak. I did try to get an old-timer to come on the show last week, but three messages later, I think I get the hint that he doesn't want to talk about his titles, and also, he doesn't want to talk about his race wins. So, combine that with the Ferry when that didn't work out, and there's your answer. Maybe it's true that the absence makes the heart grow fonder, and if so, you guys will fall back in love with these podcasts. But most likely, everybody has forgot about these, and I'll never draw the listeners back in that I once had. Enough of the jibber-jabber. We have Geico Torco Racing Fuels, Factory Connections, Jake the Snake Weimer on this week. Wes Williams, the mastermind behind the RXI Moto Shows, is a big follower of the amateur scene, and he always tells me about these kids, but frankly, I'm a little scared to talk to them. The little hellions might roll my car or beat me up or whatever. I think I'll just stick with the 450 guys. But I've gotten to know Jake a little bit in the last little bit, and he seems like a great kid. Plus, he raced in Canada, and that's always a plus with me. Jake's coming onto his own the last year or so. He won the second night at the U.S. Open. He won the Phoenix Supercross. He just came off a career-best second place at Mount Morris. And he signed a huge deal with a certain team that uses green bikes for 2009. Even if Honda matches his offer, which is their right, Jake's looking at a bright future and one that'll be full of race wins and money and chicks and all the good stuff. So here he is, Jake Weimer. And remember, this is available on iTunes for your download. And stick around to the end to win a free pair of Scott goggles by answering a trivia question from none other than Ron, the Dogger Lachine. Thanks to Jake for doing this. Thanks to Shift Canada. Most of all, thanks to you guys for listening to this crap. Jake Weimer, Geico Honda Team. Hey, thanks for doing the RacerX Canada podcast.
Yeah, no problem. I figured it's better than you bugging me and calling me every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now we can finally get to the bottom of it in one recorded thing, and I'll probably leave you alone.
Right, exactly. That's what I figured.
Now, you haven't listened to any of these? You didn't know anything about it when I called?
No, I don't really follow you too much, Steve.
Well, that's all right. I understand. So, hey, you're doing good this year.
There's definitely times that are better than others, but as an overall, you know, it's been pretty good, and got a win in Supercross, which was exciting, and outdoors has really been coming together for me, so it's been exciting, and there's definitely been some good results, so it's been good.
Yeah, did you expect to be doing as well as you have been doing outdoors? Is this kind of what you thought you'd be?
I think so. I mean, last weekend to get second, I mean, I had a little bit of help in there, you know, to get second, obviously, but that was obviously big for me, but that's the goal, is just to keep on the podium and, you know, try to battle with that front group, so.
What went on in Supercross? What was the deal there? Like, I mean, obviously, I think looking back on it, you would take the win over everything else, obviously, because winning a Supercross is massive, but looking
right
back on it, what caused your inconsistency?
I think probably, you know, you're not the first guy that's asked me this.
No, I don't. I'm not getting to the ball. I'm not really having any probing journalism questions, but
yeah. You know, I was just kind of in a place where I wanted to win the championship, and I was super prepared. I was ready. I was fit. My speed was good. And then I think I just came in, like, so just ready to go and just, like, I had to win, because I felt like I could and I felt like I was ready, that I think I just, you know, round one, it was kind of the same as the rounds that I blew up at. I wasn't smart about it. I just, You know, rather than, you know, you can't win every race, and I think sometimes, you know, to win a championship is totally different than to win a race. Because to win a race, you can go, I mean, shoot, we raced 7 Supercrosses and 12 outdoors. You can just go nuts every weekend until you finally win one. Mm-hmm. But to win a championship, you got to be smart and you got to make good decisions. And that's exactly what I didn't do. I was ready to win races. I just was not ready to win a championship. I was just, because I felt like I could win and I knew that I could win. So I was just so focused on winning that I would make bad decisions. And I think it was just, I mean, it sucked for sure, but the good thing about it was is that it kind of taught me, you know, the next step that I need to take to win a championship. So as far as going into next year, I definitely feel more prepared than I was last year already. So.
And when you talk about how you were ready and ready to win races, did you judge that off your off-season speed? I mean, is that sort of what you how you came to that conclusion? Were you super good at the test track?
I mean, I was riding really well, and, you know, I had gone, and I rode the U.S. Open, and that was, you know, the race is kind of whatever, but it was good for me to go there and win the second night, and I was in shape, and I was ready, and then I went to Italy and did a race, and I didn't end up winning, but I won my first two qualifiers and then ended up going down in the main and getting third, but the whole weekend I was super fast and rode really good, and it was just, it's just kind of one of those things where you're physically fit and you're healthy, and everything on the bike is, you know, working right, and you know, at the test track every day, your times are good, so it's just, I was just super confident and felt that I could win.
When you won that open race, I'm wondering, what was going through your mind in that? I meant to bring that up in a little bit later, but were you waiting for those guys to catch you? What were you thinking when you were out there just pounding out the laps? I mean, it had to have been just bizarre for you.
You know, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't as bizarre as you'd think. I mean, I think it was a big surprise. I think some of my success is a big surprise to a lot of people because I don't race as good as I practice. So to me, it's not surprising. But I think to the average fan, it's like, wow, where did that come from? Because I don't race as well as I practice. Mm-hmm. And as far as that goes, I've definitely gotten a lot better at bringing it to the weekend and, you know, putting things together. But, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me. I mean, obviously, you know, the top 450 guys went down. So I did have some help there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a surprise to me, you know, to ride a good, solid race. And, you know, I think I made one pretty major mistake, but other than that, I just, you know, I didn't really think about winning. I just kind of focused on riding the track and, like, what you should do if you were leading a race. So, it went pretty smoothly, and it all just kind of fell together for me. So, it was exciting for sure to be able to win.
You almost won the overall. You were in position for it anyways. At one
point. I fell down on the first night. And I think I was in, like, fifth on the first lap and fell down. Mm-hmm. And if I would have got one more position better the first night, I think I would have got third. So I think I only needed, like, two more positions to win the overall.
I had my socks off and everything trying to figure out the math behind that while you were winning, definitely.
Yeah.
How much money did you win at Vegas? Was it a ton?
I think I ended up making, like, just over 20 grand.
Nice. Probably.
Which I was kind of pissed about because...
Wow.
No, because the whole time they were announcing that, you know, 35 grand to win one night. All you got to do is win one night and you make 35 grand.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, sweet. Yeah. I just made 35 grand. I think I got the 20 grand for the overall. And then I didn't get anything for winning that moto. And they were claiming that all you had to do is win a moto and you'd get 35 grand. So I thought I'd made like 55 grand. And then they're like, no, you just get paid for the overall.
You're like, but wait a minute.
Yeah, you guys are announcing the whole weekend.
I didn't even hear that. So, I didn't know they were announcing it or anything.
I don't remember. Yeah, they kept saying, and I don't remember exactly what they told me, but they're like, no, you just made 20 grand.
Was that your biggest payday, or did you make more in Italy? Or
no, I made more at Phoenix for sure, winning the Supercross.
Yeah, I guess. Never mind then. Yeah, that was a dumb question. Hey, so the U.S. Open, you just talked about how you won it, and you just really just concentrated on riding and didn't think about it. When you won Phoenix, was it the same thing? I mean, did it, I hear a lot of people who win their first race, they say that it comes easy, and they're surprised at how easy it was. Like, you know what I mean? Not easy, but...
Yeah.
Was it the same way for you?
The funny thing was, is I think that a lot of people's first win is easy, and mine wasn't at all. Mm-hmm. Usually it's like the guy that wins his first Supercross race, he kind of hole shots and checks out, and he... I mean, usually if you look at all the people that have done it, it's like usually they kind of hole shot and check out and just kind of win it.
Just kind of ride around.
For me, I hole shot and got past twice and then just had the gnarliest battle until like the last two straightaways because Dungey made a mistake and couldn't do the triple.
Yeah.
So the whole time it was just like, I mean, I was getting pressured for like for third. The dudes in fourth and fifth were all over me, and then I got by Hepler, and then Hepler got me back, and then went by Dungey. It was just crazy. It wasn't easy at all.
You know, I remember watching it, and I remember thinking that you looked the most in control of all those dudes that were battling. Because Hepler was hanging off his bike, slamming into dudes, hitting hay bales.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, he looks, that's why I asked the question, I remember looking, thinking, he just looks like he's riding around. Now, obviously, you know, talking to you now, you were in a battle of death, but...
Well, I was, but honestly, it was just kind of, I was super comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it wasn't as far as, you know, just getting a whole shot and pulling out front and just leading. It wasn't that kind of easy. But at the same time, I was super comfortable, and I don't think I won that race because I was, the fastest guy. I think I won the race because I was the smartest. I didn't make as many mistakes. I think Dungey wasn't able to do the triple twice, and Hepler fell down, and it was just kind of one of those things where I guarantee you I won that race because I was the smartest guy and made the least amount of mistakes, which doesn't make any sense at all, being the rest of my season went the way it did.
Yeah.
But as far as that race goes, for sure.
Now, is there somebody on the track that you just have some crazy rivalry with or some bar banging, or is there anybody that maybe just gets under your skin a little bit out there?
You know, not really.
Everybody
I don't
just like you.
Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good in your class because there's a lot of fighters in your class.
Yeah. No, I mean honestly, I don't really have like any like people that I just can't stand and just. I mean, there's definitely some people that I don't care for and I don't like, but it's not like every time we get around each other on the track, it's just out of control and people slam into each other.
Right, right.
Which is good because it keeps me out of trouble and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I'm sure if you ever needed to know about that kind of stuff, you can just ask number 20 on your team. He'll tell you all about how to conduct the rivalry. So
no doubt, yeah.
So next year, obviously you can't talk too much about it. You're going to be probably green or red next year by all accounts, and I think no matter what happens, you're going to be on a great team. So you have to be pumped on your future, huh?
Yeah, like you said, I can't say anything next year, but my deal is done, and it you know, it'll be a good team, and, you know, I'm excited, and, you know, I think that Supercross next year will be really exciting because I definitely think I have a shot at winning the title, so that'll be exciting, and, you know, as far as my career goes, it's getting fun just because things are turning around, and I'm starting to have some success, so it's... You know, when that, you know, some people come in and they're immediately successful, and for me, it wasn't really like that. I mean, I always have done okay, but I've never really done exceptional. So it's definitely exciting, you know, looking into the future, just because things have definitely, you know, progressively gotten better every year.
Can you tell us how many years you signed for?
I can't say.
Can't even say that. All right.
No.
You're talking about your career, getting back into that. I was going to ask you about it. You've kind of taken a strange path, arena cross, regional arena crosses, and you went up to Canada and did some nationals up there. Was that just, I mean, at the time, were you just thinking, hey, I got to make some money, I got to start my pro career? What led to those decisions to do those type of races?
You know, honestly, it was a little bit of everything. I think the arena cross deal was like, I did it as an intermediate. I rode Reno one year, And I was like, hey, you know what, that was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go do it the year I was pro. And, you know, I ended up winning both Dash for Cashes both nights. And I don't know, I won some stuff and made quite a bit of money. And I was like, you know, that's pretty fun and it's good practice.
Yeah.
And I can make money doing it. So then it was like, all right, I think I'm going to do a few more. So I did a few more, and then I was like, you know, I kind of became friends with the promoters and all the people that were kind of putting the thing together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, we don't want you to not come anymore, so we'll pay for your travel and you can, you know, race for free or whatever. So I ended up doing a bunch more.
Right.
And so that just kind of worked out, and, you know, I'm super glad I did it because I think it's, honestly, it's a good stepping stone for Supercross. It's tough to come in as an amateur and then just jump into Supercross. It's gnarly.
Yeah.
So I think it was good for sure. And then the Canada deal, I don't remember exactly how that fell together, but I think it's...
Somebody just said, hey, we're going to Canada?
Yeah, pretty much. I know that it was last minute, and it was tough to get all my stuff really ready and get the bike set up like how I had my bike set up in the U.S. So it was, as far as that goes, it was really tough, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, my results weren't, you know, great the races I was up there.
You won one, though, right?
I think I won one, and, you know, I wasn't, for a while, I really struggled in the mud, and I think I've gotten better, and obviously up there, it rains quite a bit, and so that was part of my struggle right there, is I wasn't, at that time, I was really struggling in the mud. So, but, I mean, more than anything, I think it's just good to travel and ride different places and try and ride out of your comfort zone just so that you can, you know, you can perform no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, the...
So that was the big idea.
The usual, you know, path is right out of Loretta is you're in a truck and you're now racing Supercross and Nationals, and that's it. So it's definitely a different deal for you. Now, you'll have to forgive my ignorance. Wes Williams is probably going to get mad, but did you ever win at Loretta's?
Nope, I didn't.
Never did? Okay.
I got second, and the little redhead that's winning the Nationals right now beat me.
Well, I guess that's not too bad.
No, I mean... the last year I rode there, I rode really well, and just, I mean, I led one moto for a while, and he beat me. Like, it was, you know, I was riding really well, and it wasn't like I just got dominated, but I've never won.
Were you on Suzuki's then?
Yeah.
Who was doing your bikes and things like that?
Back then, Bill's Pipes they were a super good sponsor of mine for a long time. Mm-hmm. They helped me when I was on 80s, 125s, they helped me for a long time, and they were doing my motors and, like, exhaust and stuff, and then Racetech helped me for a lot of years, too, and they were doing my suspension. So my bikes at Loretta's were pretty good that year.
Yeah, you were happy with them?
Yeah, I was.
Did you ever race Regina up in Canada?
I think so. Okay. I don't know for sure which one that is, but I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, it's one of the West rounds. I just got back from there.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I was going to ask you about the track, but there's no sense in that.
Isn't it kind of hard packed, and there's like an old van that's parked off the side of the track?
No, that's Nanaimo.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Nanaimo's got little supercross whoops and stuff and hard packed.
Where's the one? Is that one on the island?
Yeah, Nanaimo's on the island.
Yeah, I didn't ride that one.
Oh, okay. Well... It's funny how you go up there and race, and your only memory is some old van parked in the grass.
that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, I know. That's just funny how you latch onto these things. Hey, how's living in Idaho? Or not? You're not living there now, but how's growing up and living in Idaho? I mean, is it?
You know, I mean, it's good. It's home for me. I love where I come from. I really enjoy it, and I wish I could spend more time there. But as far as the racing scene goes, it makes it pretty tough because it's not a huge racing scene, and there's not a lot of local tracks to ride. So as far as that goes, it was definitely tough. But, you know, as far as the place goes and where I grew up, it was good. And my dad built me my own track when I was shoot, I don't know, probably 8 or 9, and I've had that ever since, and it's now, like, a full-blown, like, legit supercross track.
Oh,
so,
really? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good, it's fun, and so I enjoy going up there when I can, but I don't get to spend much time there.
Did you ever hang out with Danny Smith at all? Are you buddies with him, or?
You know, I never, he's older than I am, obviously, but I would see him around, and, you know, I guess I did hang out with him a little bit. We kind of have a mutual friend, Cole Siebler.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny grew up with Cole, and I've been buddies with Cole. So when Danny was in Idaho, and we'd show up at the same tracks, and we'd hang out a little bit. But
yeah.
But not a ton.
Yeah. Now, Bradshaw lives there, too.
Yep. Yeah. I never met him.
Dude, Bob Hanna? No.
Never met him either. Bradshaw claimed he was going to break my leg one time at his local track.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. That's actually a pretty distinguished list of people that he wanted to break his leg. So
yeah.
What happened?
It was just a stupid little night local race. And I raced my super mini in the big bike class.
Uh-huh.
And, dude, the start was, like, super short.
Right.
And it's concrete start. I got the whole shot on my super mini. And he passed me, like, 3 turns later and almost killed me. And then he told the promoter that he was going to break my leg if I got in his way again, and I shouldn't have been out there with him.
That's awesome.
Like, dude, come on, I'm 14.
Yeah, but you don't know Damon. You got to watch old videos. That sounds just like him.
Yeah. No, I've never met him, never talked to him.
He just did one of these with me, like, maybe a month ago.
And, oh, really?
And he talked about how he wanted to break Matasevich's leg all the time, so... Back in the day.
Yeah, so...
So he was treating the night race like it was Anaheim Supercross, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess so.
So you picked up a new trainer, Randy Lawrence. Now,
yeah.
I know the media is going to jump all over it and claim that, you know, Randy's the reason why you're doing good, but you really just started working with him. And
yeah.
Like you said, you haven't really benefited too much from him, but what made you go out and get a trainer? What was your thought behind that?
Well, I've had a trainer pretty much the whole time. I had a buddy from Idaho that was helping me for a long time, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that he did a really good job for me, and he did, you know, I was in shape, and I was ready to go. I think the Randy thing was more, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where I needed help in some different areas, you know, mentally, and, you know, being able to bring it to the races better, and
mm-hmm.
He's super good at that, and I think that, you know, I think he's good at that, and I think he's good at pulling everything out of a person, and that's, you know, that I think that's what he's doing with me, and, you know, and it wasn't a thing where I was, you know, unhappy with my old trainer. It was just kind of I needed help in some
right.
other areas, and Randy was, he's able to do that, and he's, you know, he's been very good, and he's very knowledgeable, and he knows what he's doing, and I think that, you know, the training program I'm on right now is very good. It's a good program, and like I said, he's very knowledgeable. And he knows what he's doing. There's a method for his madness, and obviously, it doesn't, you know, hurt, you know, riding with Ryan every day, and, you know, that definitely is a help.
So he's more than a trainer. He's kind of like a life coach, maybe.
Yeah. No. Exactly. That's exactly right, and that's exactly what I needed. So that's. That's kind of how that all came
right.
together, and I definitely think that he's helping me, and, you know.
Will you promise me to stay with him for a little while, because have you noticed how many riders are dumping trainers and getting
Yeah,
trainers?
I know.
So.
That's a whole other deal.
Hey, what bugs you about motocross right now? Is there anything that really gets to you, like industry-wise or racing-wise? Is there anything
yeah,
you want to vent
sure.
about?
I think that it's kind of... I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money that shouldn't be, and I think that it's just, you know, you were at the press conference at High Point and listened to Dungy. I mean,
right.
there's just some people that are just the joke. Like, I mean, whatever. I mean, obviously, him doing that just makes it easier for me to beat him, but, and obviously we're talking about Lawrence right now, but...
Yeah. Ixnay on the Lawrence talk. No.
So, it's just, you know, when I... If that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. I don't really care. It's not really affecting me, but I just think that it just kills me to see, like, people that are just stupid, and they're just, like, making so much money, and they're just pissing it away. Yeah. Like, dude, if you work for 7 years, you won't have to do anything for the rest of your life. And you just, I mean, I don't know why that makes me mad, because it really doesn't affect me, but I think that it, it definitely makes me mad when they beat me, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm with you on that, and the guy won a championship somehow, but
yeah.
I mean, you got to give him credit for that.
It's
amazing that he did it, and in a sense, it's the worst thing that could maybe happen, because now he knows how bad he can maybe, let's say, goof off and still win.
Right.
You know,
right.
What about the media? You get along with all the media guys? Everything's cool with that? I mean, do you go on Moto News? Do you go on these forums?
Yeah. No, I do. I go on Moto News and check it out, and. No, I get along with everybody, really. I mean, I get along with Steve Cox really well. And,
yeah, does he kind of creep you out? Because he told me that you're his Tim Ferry to me.
Yeah, he creeps me out a little bit.
And he's old, you know? I mean, you're young.
He's a little creepy.
Yeah.
For sure. He could be a potential pedophile. I don't know.
Look at him. Just look at him when he's walking around. He's got that goofy hat on.
Right?
So.
No, I mean, as far, I mean, I get along with everybody pretty well. I think that... it's kind of hard, but, you know, the better you do, obviously, the more publicity you get. But I definitely think that there's one guy in particular that seems to be able to just skip over me all the time, and he's really good at it. And he's done it ever since I was an amateur.
Really?
So that bugs me a little bit. But other than that, everyone's good. Like, and I like him as a guy. I just think that for some reason... he skips over me a little bit and just kind of pushes it off to the side. Whatever it is, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that is kind of creepy. Not maybe creepy, that is kind of weird because you definitely can't deny all the success you've been having in the last year and a half, you know?
Yeah, so, for sure.
Who do you normally hang out with down there in SoCal? Who's your buddies? What do you do in that extremely white house of yours?
You know, right now I'm laying on the couch, but... No, I hang out with Villopoto a lot, and, shoot, other than that, not really that many people, honestly. I used to hang out with number 20 a lot, but...
He's in Florida?
Well, no, he's here right now, but...
He's coming back to Colorado, right? Is that the word?
Yeah, yep.
Good, because I picked him in my fantasy league, so...
All right.
Just that's a good little tip. I picked you last week, so I can't pick you again.
All right.
What's your hopes for lights class? How long do you want to stay in it? Have you thought about that far down the line?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the plan is to win Supercross next year, so then that would mean I could only ride one more year. So the plan is to ride two more years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I am eligible to ride three more. So, I mean, if everything goes according to plan, which it should, then I'll ride it two more years.
Are you a good big bike rider? Do you ride much? Do you have one now?
Come on, dude. Everybody's better on a 450.
it's a whole lot easier, isn't it?
Dude, if I was on a 450 right now, you would be blown away.
Oh, man. That's big talk right there.
mean, honestly, I think... I know everybody says this, but I do think eventually I will be a better 450 rider because I'm not out of control. I don't ride with my feet off the pegs. Like, I'm super conservative, and I use a lot of throttle control. So I think that, you know, I can't say I'm going to jump on a 450 and just dominate, but I think I'll do good. I think that I enjoy riding a 450, and I think it'll be fun for sure. I think... You know, obviously for everybody, I think it'll probably, I'm just assuming it's going to be a little bit tough to learn how to ride it in Supercross because there's so much power to deal with, but I do think that, I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, talent is talent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't help that, but.
Right.
All right, well, hey, cool, thanks for doing this. I told you to keep it half an hour, and we're right at half an hour right now, so.
All
right. Thanks a lot. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything that bugs you? Anything more that bugs you?
Yeah, but not that I want people to know about.
Yeah, nothing that you can really talk about.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right, well, cool. Thanks, Jake, for doing this, and I'll see you this weekend. I want to, good luck for the rest of the season, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you up at the podium again.
For sure.
All right, Jake, thank you.
No problem. Bye.
That's Geico Honda's Jake Weimer. Good kid, bright future. I think he's really going to do something. He seems like he's got his head on straight, and I think that he's got a really good program set up. And I think with his impending departure to the Pro Circuit Kawasaki team, he'll only get better. Now, to reward all you guys that made it to the end of this podcast, it's that time again. Time for the Ron Lachine trivia question to win yourself a pair of Scott goggles. The first two people with the correct answer and the first two people to email me at mathis@racerxcanada.com, M-A-T-T-H-E-S @racerxcanada.com, will be rewarded with a free pair of goggles. So this is for real. I did it last week or the last podcast, and I think it's a little bit rewarding for you guys to get through the whole thing. I want to help you out. So get some sweet Scott goggles if you know the correct answer. And I want to thank John Knowles at Scott for donating the prizes. And here's the dogger himself with the trivia question.
Ron Lachine, what's going on today?
What's happening, Steve?
Not too much. We're just doing a Scott goggle thing again, and we're trying to give away some goggles. So what's the trivia question for today?
At what track did I win the 1989 500 USGP at?
All right. What were your motor scores that day?
1-1, if I can remember correctly.
Nice. Thanks very much.
All right. Have a good day.